So today we're going to go another step in the road ahead. Everybody say the road ahead. And remember, all of us are on a road and we're headed to a destination. Whether you like it or not, you're headed somewhere. It may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're headed somewhere. So today, the title of this message will be Finish What You Started. Remember what your parents used to say. Finish what you started. If you started it, finish it. And I'm going to take you first to 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, verses 7 and 8 in the New Living Translation. Paul speaking here, he said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished the race, and I have remained faithful. And now the prize awaits me. Now the prize awaits me. The crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on the day of his return. And the prize is not just for me, but for all who eagerly look forward to his appearing. Here's what I'll say in the beginning. Anyone can start something, but few finish. Anyone can start something, but few finish. A lot of people like to start something because it seems glamorous. It seems like, well, if Dr. Carrier can do it, then I should be able to do it. Or somebody else is doing it, I should be able to do it. And they've got results, so maybe I'll get results. Well, the fact is, you can't look at them. You have to look at your potential and what you can accomplish. Amen? So when you start, you have to look at yourself and no one else. Anyone can start something, few finish, but remember this, starting is always celebrated. Everybody gets happy on start day. They break the champagne, they do all these great things, but starting is celebrated, but finishing is remembered. In the start, you may celebrate, but finish. When you finish, it is now remembered. Like we celebrate the beginning of a race. A race has started. Everybody's hooping and hollering and all that stuff. The launch of a ministry. You got a ministry going. You get all excited about that. Buying a new dress. Steve, when you buy it. Or buying brand new shoes. You know, my wife gets excited. Or the first step of faith. You remember when you first got saved, how excited you were? How about a New Year's resolution? Always excited about a New Year's resolution. But heaven, everybody say heaven. Yeah. Heaven doesn't applaud beginnings. Heaven doesn't applaud beginnings alone. Add that word to it. Doesn't applaud beginnings alone. Here's this. Heaven crowns finishers. Not just beginners, but finishers. That's what the Bible says. Paul says, doesn't say, watch this. If you read Paul and you understand what he's saying, he didn't say, I started the race. I started that race. He says, I finished it. A lot of people like to talk, but few people like to walk. People like to glory in what they think they can do, but I'd rather glory in what I've already done. I'd want to celebrate what I've accomplished, not what I told you I was going to do. If I tell you I'm going to do a thing, then I want to walk that path and get it accomplished. We'll get into that in a moment. But Paul doesn't say, I just started the race. He says, I finished it. So as we approach this season, Christmas is this week, isn't it? Thank you for all the cards and letters and gifts that I didn't get. But as we approach Christmas and the close of another year, remember you're a year older, another year, the Spirit of the Lord, I believe, is asking us a sobering, sobering, grace-filled question. And that's this. Will you finish what God started in you? Will you finish what God started in you? And will you finish strong? Will you finish strong? Turn to somebody and say, will you finish strong? You say, why do you make us do that, Bishop? I want to keep you awake. I don't like people going to sleep on me in a sermon. I mean, I got up at 4 o'clock this morning. If I can stand up here, you can sit there. So what does finishing strong look like? What does it look like for you in this season, in this time? Not in theory, not just some theory. What does it look like? Not for someone else. Well, what does it look like for? No, for you. Not for someone else. Right now, you, right now and right here. What does it look like? Is it a better job? I thought about this yesterday. Is it maybe a better job? Maybe it's more money. For you intelligent people, more money. For you King James Version people, more money. Is it a better job? Is it more money? Is it prestiged? Or here's the thing that's important. Is it prestige or fulfilled purpose? That's what you have to look like. Is it prestige or is it fulfilled purpose? That's important to me. So I guess what I'm asking is, what is the line that you're headed toward? What is the finish line that you're headed toward? What is it you're pressing toward? You see, the important thing is that you're pressing. We're going to prove this in a moment. But you say, Bishop, it's like the old song said, clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right, and here I am stuck in the middle with you. I feel that way sometimes, don't y'all? I know Mike does. He tells me all the time. You do understand that in anything in life, there is that in-between or that middle time. Stuck in the middle. I looked at that today. See, the reality of the middle, some things we don't look at, but the reality of the middle or the in-between, starting and finishing strong, most people, maybe not you, but most people don't quit what they start in the beginning. Except one fella I watched on a reel, professional boxer, heavyweight boxing match. This really happened. Crowds out there, stands are full, everybody's waiting for him. He does his walk. Everybody, you know how they do their walk. You know, they all come down the thing. They all have the lights and the sound. And you may have seen this, Doc. But they come down one heavyweight's in there. He's in the ring. They're standing there. Now, understand, he's done all the training. He spent all the time. He's just done the walk. All the people have paid their money. He walks into the ring and looks at his opponent. Stands there for a few seconds and climbs out of the ropes and walks out. That really happened. You know what he said? This guy's gonna kill me. In his brain, fear took over. Fear took over, so he didn't finish. Why would you even start something like that if you were not going to finish something like that? It makes you look like a fool, like a crazy person. So most people don't quit at the beginning. They quit in the middle. The middle is where, watch this, the middle is where the excitement wears off. When does your marriage just fail? Somewhere in the middle. Because the excitement wears off. The dress, you don't get to wear that dress no more. Most of you men can't fit in your tuxedo anymore. Those things wear off. The excitement wears off. And then in spiritual things, the prayers that you've been praying feel unanswered. That's in the middle. The prayers I've prayed sometimes, it doesn't answer immediately. And I get in the middle. But one thing I've learned, never question God in the middle. Never get discouraged in the middle. Let's go on with this. So that when excitement wears off, our prayers are unanswered, or the progress of where you think you should be, it gets a little slow. How many of your progress sometimes gets a little slow? Let's be honest. I feel that way, especially in ministry. You go after it with gung-ho, and you really feel like everybody's going to listen, and everybody's going to get involved, and everybody's going to get behind it. And one day you look up, and you look for everybody, and everybody is nobody. Because very few people catch your excitement. Very few people catch your dream or the purpose that God has set before you. So when progress feels slow, what happens then, Deb? What happens then when progress starts to get slow? Fatigue starts to settle in. Because now I'm tired. I am so tired. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm just going to throw up my hands and quit. You see, the middle, the in-between, Larry, the middle is where faith gets tested. It's going to happen every time. In the middle is where faith gets tested. Not because God is absent. God is not absent. But because perseverance is required. When you start talking about perseverance, that gets difficult. Because most people can't persevere to the end. You get on a diet program, it's hard to persevere. You get on a savings plan, it's hard to persevere. You get on a health project, it's hard to persevere. There's a lot of things in life you can be victorious over, but you'll never be victorious if you set perseverance aside. You have to keep on keeping on. Amen? You have to press on and press on. And when you get tired, press on. When things come against you, you press on. When the doctor says you're not going to get well, you press on. I mean, like I told you, I have a friend. The doctor said you got 6 months to live. And he said, I'm not going to listen to you. I've got another report. He said, and I choose to believe that report. Now, the reality is, this is what the doctor's saying because this is what they've observed. But in spiritual things, God, by your faith and through your faith, can heal you. Amen? So I'm going to persevere in my faith. In my faith, I'm going to choose to believe. How about you? I'm going to choose to believe. Now watch. I'm going to press on. But for a moment, let's look at what finishing strong. What does finishing strong actually mean? What does it really, really mean to finish strong? So many people, when they hear that term, finishing strong, they think, watch this, more activity. If I can just be more active. More effort, if I just put in more effort. More exhaustion. If I was just exhausted, I could feel like I'm doing something. But biblically, finishing strong is not about, oh, this is good. It's not about intensity. Biblically, it's not about intensity. It's about integrity. Because what you say you will do, when the Lord asks you to do something, what you say you will do, He just expects you to get it done. My daddy always said to me, I don't have to sign a contract. If I say I'll do a thing, I'll do a thing. And guess who adopted that? Me. I don't have to sign. If I say I'm going to do something, ask my wife. She'll tell you. If I say I'm going to do something, I just do it because I have to live with myself. You can't get away from you. You looked at yourself in the mirror this morning, didn't you? You can't get away from that person. They're always there looking back at you. So it's not just about being intensity. It's about integrity. Will you do what you say you will do? Will you go where you said you would go? What I'm saying, I will put feet on what I say. I'll put action into my words. What did Paul mean in 2 Timothy 4 when he said these three things? Paul uses three phrases in 2 Timothy 4. He said, I fought a good fight. Remember what we're talking about. We're going to finish. We're going to finish strong. Paul says, I fought a good fight. He didn't say, I didn't avoid the struggle. I fought a good fight. The fight was there. The fight was real. The fight was before me. I had no choice, but if I was going to go God's way, I had to go through opposition. I had to climb some mountains. I had to cross some rivers. I had to be lost at sea. I had to be bitten by snakes. I had to fight in the arenas. Study his life. He went through hell. He said, I fought the good fight. I didn't avoid struggle. If struggle meant giving up on the call, I was not going to do that. I'm going to do it. Then he said, point two, I finished the race. What does that mean? I didn't abandon the assignment. The assignment was clear. This is what I want you to do. He never abandoned what God asked him to do. Do you think you're a lot like Paul? You need to be. I need to be. Then he said, this next phrase, I kept the faith. I kept the faith. I guarded what was entrusted to me. What you gave me, Lord, I guarded it. I wouldn't let anything come between me and my call. Jesus was faced with it in the wilderness. When Satan came to him and tempted him, he wouldn't let anything get in the way of what he was called to do. He was sent for a purpose. Amen? So finishing strong means you stay true to who God called you to be. Who did God call you to be? What was that? You didn't trade faith for convenience. We're going to get somewhere in a minute. But you understand, we never trade faith for convenience. Well, it's more convenient for me to do this, or it's more convenient for me to do that. No, faith. You never trade faith for convenience. You don't let weariness rewrite your convictions. Uh-oh. You don't allow weariness to rewrite your convictions. Whatever your convictions are, they're your convictions, and you just stand on them. Amen or oh me?
Amen.
You need to stand on them. Don't be swayed easily by somebody else. Whether it be angel, if an angel came to you and preaches anything other than Jesus Christ, don't listen to him. That's what the Bible says. Don't do that. I will not allow any of those things to rewrite my convictions. So finishing strong isn't about doing more. We think if we do more, we're going to do better. Finishing strong isn't about doing more. It's about not letting go. It's just not letting go. I refuse to let go. I'm going to hold on. I'm going to keep going on. I'm going to keep on doing what God's asked me to do. I'm going to keep on keeping on. I'm going to keep chugging, man. I'm going to keep working that little engine going up the hill. I think I can, 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 I think I can. If you don't think you're going to get there, you'll never make your destination. You got to keep pressing on. So the in-between time, the in-between time or the middle, why is it that so many believers stall in the middle? They get right in the middle of something, stall. Church, it's going great. All of a sudden, things start to stagnate. Things start to go a little sideways. What's happening here in the middle? You see, people often silently, not suddenly, everybody, silently, not suddenly, they quit. Jeff, they quit silently, not suddenly. So get those two things in your mind, silently, not suddenly. Three common reasons believers don't finish well. Fatigue. Just wore out. Emotional fatigue. Their little emotions can't handle it no more. Just emotionally drained. Have you ever felt that way before? I have. Just emotionally drained. I mean, I don't think I could handle anymore. Just tired. Sick and tired of being sick and tired. The next would be spiritual fatigue. You say, can you get fatigued in the spirit? Yes, your spirit, you can. The Holy Spirit will never fatigue, but your spirit will. Because you see, the flesh is weak. Now, the spirit may be willing, but the flesh is weak. So we get spiritually fatigued. Then here's one that we all have to face, decision fatigue. I've made so many decisions. I don't want to make any. Have you ever said that? I have heard that. I don't want to make any more decisions. My wife said that last night. I don't want to fix anything else. I don't want to fix it. I said, but you have to because I can't cook. It's just truth. I'm standing there going, look, I know you got problems with your computer, but you got to realize I can't do this. I've never done this before. Now, if you want your meat to look charred, I can get it done. I can make it look like charcoal. But what happens? The problem and all these things I mentioned, emotional fatigue, spiritual fatigue, decision fatigue, the problem isn't a lack of faith. Because people will throw that at you. You got just a lack of faith. No, the problem is not a lack of faith. It's a lack of rest. It's a lack of rest. Even Jesus, you can look for yourself. This is one point in Luke 5:16. Even Jesus, when he got a little weary, he would go off by himself. Why do you think he went off by himself? So he could talk to the Father. Sometimes you just got to get away from everything and everybody. I like that. Just get alone. Talk to God. You'll find out a lot about yourself in that lone time. So you read it in Luke 5:16. But hear this. When I say rest, rest is not quitting. When I say rest, I'm not saying quit. Rest is not quitting. Rest is maintenance for the race. It's like putting new tires on the race car or filling it up with fuel. Rest is maintenance, so you can keep on keeping on. The next thing you have to face is discouragement. Discouragement happens when this is important. Discouraged, because a lot of, have y'all ever been discouraged? Oh boy, I have. I just looked out of here and I got discouraged. Just kidding. Discouragement can come quick. I mean, there was a time, man, I'd go to the doctor and I'd get this report. I'd go to that doctor, get this report. And it's like my wife said to me one time, she said, you know, you just can't get a win, can you? And that's the way I felt. I couldn't get a win. I needed a win. And when you don't get a win, when you think you need the win, you get discouraged. But discouragement happens when expectation moves toward reality. What do you mean? Discouragement is born in the gap between what we expected to happen and what is actually happening. Did y'all catch that? It's what we expected to happen and what is actually happening. That's when disappointment steps in. It's not always because something is wrong either. It's not because it's wrong. Often it's because our expectations were ahead of God's process. God has a process. God has a plan. And we expect it to move in a different way. Hear me. I love all y'all. I really do. But whatever you expect God to do, he probably won't do it the way you expect it. He probably will do it in a way you never expected it, so that you'll see that God doesn't work on your thought process. Anytime I thought this is the way God's going to do it, he'd say, well, that sounds good, but I'm going to do it this way. Has anybody else experienced that? So I can say this statement again. He may not come when you want him, but he'll come on time with the right plan. With the right plan. Just like Debbie had that motorcycle accident. Because of the motor accident, she had an MRI, and the MRI found cancer in her kidney. If she had not had that motorcycle wreck with the deer, she would not have gotten the MRI, and they found the cancer in her kidney, got caught it early. See, I believe in God. That's what God does. He makes a way. So you can see how the process works. I want God's process. I want his process. I want his plan. Watch this. Timing, whenever we get disappointed because we feel the timing feels delayed. And you know, timing is everything. But when we feel like it may not be that God's timing is off, it's probably our timing. When timing feels delayed, here comes discouragement. Because, you know, I felt like I was going to get my miracle. I prayed for a husband, and it's been 5 years now. But maybe that husband ain't got old enough yet to marry you. Betty said, thank you, Jesus. I mean, that's just the way it is. You don't know. But God promised me a house. But did he also tell you in promising you that house that you're going to have to get a job? And you're going to have to meet certain expectations in order to get the home. He's going to bring it your way, but you've got to do a few things too. See, I don't want to do that. I just want it now. Now, Lord, I want it now. I want patience and I want it now. Doesn't happen that way. It just doesn't happen that way. So when timing feels delayed, what do? Discouraged. Next one. When your progress feels invisible, that nobody sees it, nobody cares, nothing's going on. Progress seems invisible. Does these things really happen to people in the middle? Yeah, well, let's look at this one man. You may not have heard of him. His name's Elijah. Elijah goes in and it's a mess in Israel, for Israel. Elijah defeated 450 prophets of Baal, or Baal, however you want to pronounce it. But quit emotionally in the middle. Watch this. But quit emotionally one chapter later in 1 Kings chapter 19. One chapter later, he quits. He's sitting under a juniper tree saying, God, just go ahead and take me. I'm finished. Well, what does that tell you? He just defeated, called fire down from heaven. Has any of y'all ever called fire down from heaven? I don't think so. I haven't heard no reports of it yet. But that one chapter later, here's the proof of that, what I'm saying. Victory doesn't Victory doesn't immunize you from discouragement. Just because you had a victory, Butch, does not mean you're not going to get discouraged a week later. Because you could get discouraged, and then you just want to quit. But you just had a great victory, just like Elijah did. Elijah had a great victory, but now he's wanting to quit. He's afraid of a woman, Jezebel. I don't blame him. He's running for his life. Hiding under a juniper tree. Say, isn't it enough, Lord? Let me go sleep with my fathers. I'm ready to go. I'm the only righteous left in Israel. I'm it. And God says, hold it, son. You're not the only one. I think he said, I got 5,000 haven't bowed their knee to Baal. See, God knows more than we know. We think we're all alone in the process. We're really not. I mean, I thought, man, our church is having it tough. And we really are. And we really were. I mean, we're having it tough. We're not making the marks. We're not doing what needs to be done. And I thought I was alone in this battle. Then I started talking to other pastors. And I found out they were going through the same thing and even worse, some of them, having to close their doors forever. Disappointment comes in when you think you're alone in the battle. You think nobody cares about you. You think that everything's invisible to everybody. It's just nobody sees it. But the truth of the matter is God wouldn't put you where you are unless he thought you could handle it. He thinks you can handle it. But Elijah, I mean, no greater victory than calling fire down from heaven when you read the story and the account of what went on that day. And now he's just, I'm through. I'm finished. So you can't get a shot to keep you from discouragement. Victory does not do that. Here's one that is dangerous, that keeps you away from the finish line. This is dangerous. If you've ever been driving down the road on a two-lane road, and all of, or it doesn't matter what lane, and you start looking at other things. What are you doing there, Doc? Huh? Say it again. You're drifting. The key word here is this, is drift. Because you can drift right over into a lane. And I saw some videos of this, dashboard video. People just drift over accidentally in front of a 18-wheeler. I did that one day. I drifted right over in front of a truck and I got hit. It's a miracle I'm alive on that one. But I'm telling you, you start looking at everything else, and especially if my wife's in a car, because I don't know how to drive unless she's in the car with me. And she has to tell me I'm drifting. I'm going over here and I'm going over there and I'm doing, you know, but actually it's the confidence I have in her to tell me. You got that too? Everybody say drift. Drift is dangerous because it's unintentional. It's not intentional, it's unintentional. No one wakes up, especially I wouldn't, no one wakes up and says, well, today I'm going to stop being faithful. Today I'm going to stop being faithful to the church. I'm going to stop being a faithful giver. I'm going to stop being a faithful friend. Nobody wakes up on that one day and says, today's the day I will stop being faithful. It's not true. You start to drift. Now watch. Here's the truth. Drift happens when small disciplines disappear. When small disciplines disappear, you start to drift. You start letting things slide. You let it slide for a week, and then maybe 2 weeks, and then maybe you overlook this and you overlook that. And sissy, all of a sudden, something you didn't think you would do and you said you would never do, you start doing it. It's called drift. Drift. You have to be careful with this. Here's the truth. You don't drift, you don't drift toward faithfulness. You drift away from it. You never drift toward faithfulness, you drift away from it. So it's not how you start, but it's how you finish that impacts your story. You can drift away from it, or you can move toward God. See, we got our object is Jesus. He's not going to change. Jesus doesn't drift. His word does not drift. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall never pass away. His word is solid. So who has to move? We do. We get further and further away from the truth until we don't even recognize ourselves anymore. Well, what happened to them? I mean, I used to have people tell me, Bishop, I'll tell you this one thing. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will never not be a part of that of this church. It brought life to me, and I watched them. I just keep my mouth shut. I really wish they wouldn't have said it, because the second they said it, the devil's ears perked up like a Doberman pincher. And here they come. Here comes the devil. He walks right in, and they say, get me behind me, Satan, and he pushed them right on in. They forget everything. You know how many people that's happened to? I don't know if I could count all of them. Hundreds that made statements like that are not here anymore. And what happened? You just don't preach a good enough sermon, Bishop. That's wrong, because the word is the word. It's because they drift. They don't mean to, but they start to drift. And the further they get away from the fire, the cooler they get. The closer you get to the fire, you start to get warm again. It'd be easy for me to say, you know what, I don't think I'll do church anymore. I think I'll just, you know, I'm getting older. I'm 38 years old now. I'm getting real old now. And I just think I'll just, this thing about church, I've done my gig. I've done my thing. I could, Doc. I mean, I've done it all. I've preached to hundreds of thousands of people. I've laid my hands physically on so many people. I mean, it's wore my shoulders out. Doctor told me my lungs were wore out one time. He said, it's like you've run a marathon every time you preach. So I could actually say, I've done it. But the second I do that, I start drifting away from the call. And the more I drift away, the colder I get. And then I get away from this phrase that I used to preach. I'm immortal as long as God's hand is on me. But as long as I stay close to the fire. But as soon as I step away from the fire, Keyshawn, then I start getting colder and colder. I'm the same person, but my calling now is starting to change. Because God's not in, he's not working with me here. He was working with me there. So I've drifted away from it. Has anybody else drifted away from something? It's very difficult. You can't spot it yourself sometimes because you're so self-absorbed in where you are and what you're doing. Well, what's the importance here? Well, let's just look at another illustration. Let's think about a Netflix series. Has anybody ever watched Netflix? But let's think about a Netflix series, that old demonic thing. You might vaguely remember, if you watch a Netflix series, you might vaguely remember the first episode. But somewhere in the middle, you start forgetting the middle ones. Just maybe bits and pieces. But the finale. Tonight is the finale of The Young and the Restless. I know, that sounded good. The finale, Doc, is what sticks. Not that those things in the middle, 8 years of 8 seasons, what really sticks is the finale, the finish. Why? It's easy. Because the ending gives meaning to everything that came before it. The ending gives meaning. And here's the truth. Your story, say my story. Your story is being written the same way. The beginning, the middle, you may not, but that finish. What you do now shapes, this is important. What you do now shapes how the story will be remembered, your story. How will your story be remembered? How do you want to be remembered? Now, here's more important to that, how people think about you. But what does God think about you? See, I don't care if I have a funeral. I don't even want one, actually. Because people come in and fake cry. Brother Muskegon was a good man. Can't even say my name right. I don't want all that fluff stuff. Just do me away and that's it. Just done. I'm finished. I finished my course. I fought a good fight. I've done everything God has asked me to do. And I want to enter into my rest, which is his rest. Amen? Amen? So, what we do right now shapes the story that will be remembered. Paul's perspective. Let's look at Paul again. From the perspective of the finish line, he's at the finish line of life. I want you to look at this. Paul writes 2 Timothy not from a pulpit, but from a prison cell. He's not at the height of influence anymore. He's in a dungeon. He's at the end of his life, and he writes 2 Timothy and others, other chapters, other books. And there was no applause. There's nobody standing outside his jail cell applauding him for writing it. He's alone. Right here he is at the end of his life. There's no crowds, no platform, yet he says, I have fought a good fight. I finished the race. I've kept the faith. I'm finishing what God's asked me to do. Notice Paul doesn't say, I ran the fastest. Some of us say, man, I ran the fastest. He doesn't say he avoided pain. He says he finished. He just got it done. Because faithfulness matters more than flashiness. I'd rather have a faithful person than a flashy person. I want somebody faithful. You see, finishing begins in a manger. And it's Christmas season, think of this. We often think of Christmas as the beginning, and it sort of is. But heaven never separated the manger from the cross. There was no huge separation. It was all together. It was one unit. Heaven never separated the manger from the cross. I love this. Jesus didn't come just to be born. He came to finish something. The angel didn't say, now this is found in the scriptures in Matthew 1:21. The angel didn't say to Mary, you will call his name Jesus, for he will start salvation. Think about that. He didn't say, Jesus is coming and he's going to start salvation, this baby that shall be born to you. No, he said he will save his people from their sins, Matthew 1:21. So from the first whimper in Bethlehem to the final breath of Calvary, Jesus lived with one purpose, to complete the mission. That was it. Complete it. I'm going to get the job done. And the reason we're sitting here today is because he didn't give up at the finish line. He could have. I thank him every day. Every day that I live, I thank him for going to the cross. I thank him for forgiving me of my sins. I feel like I'm not even worthy. I mean, God, you forgave me of so much. Thank you, Jesus. But that same Jesus died for every person on the planet. Man, so powerful. On the cross, exhausted, bleeding, and misunderstood, Jesus declared, it is finished. Luke 19:30. He says, it is finished. He didn't say this, I am finished. He didn't say, I am defeated. He didn't say, I am quitting. He said, it is finished. What does that word in the Greek mean, finished? Tetelestai. It means this. That one word in the Greek means paid in full, completed, accomplished exactly as intended. That's what that word means when he said it is finished. That's powerful, isn't it? Paid in full. It's all completed. It happened exactly the way you said it would happen, Father. And I've walked it and lived it out. Jesus didn't stop early. He didn't take the easy way out. He didn't step down. He didn't quit in the middle. He finished for you. Say that back. He finished for me. Then Paul says, there's laid up for me a crown. And crowns are not for starters. Just because you start a race, they don't hand you a crown. Crowns are for the finishers. Crowns are for the finishers. Think on this. For you, for me, we all need to do this in this season. What do I need to recommit to? What do I need to recommit to? What do I need to release? Who needs, this is important, and all that, who needs for me to keep on running? Who in my life, in the sphere of my relationships, who needs me to keep running? Is it a wife? Is it a husband? Is it children? Is it friends? Is it family? Who needs that? Because I'm promising you, somebody's looking to you. Somebody's watching your life. Don't quit now. Don't give up now. Keep moving on. Keep doing what God's asked you to do. So who needs you to keep running? In closing today, my Lord, it's early. Y'all can really beat the Baptist lunch. I say this. Don't quit. Don't quit. Don't quit. You are closer to the finish than you think. You just can't see it, but you're getting close. We're getting close. Something is up in heaven. Something's going on. You say, but I'm not really doing that well right now. But as long as you're trying, God is not disappointed with your pace. I'm not running fast. He's not disappointed with your pace, only your quitting. Stay fit, faithful. Finish what you started. Finish what you started. If you start a thing, finish a thing.